At the moment, I'll call the meeting to order at 6:03. And we do, checking the participants, we do have a quorum. We have four of the five board members. So you all can see the agenda, hopefully online on the presentation there. And I would accept a motion to accept the agenda.
I would make a motion to accept the agenda as printed.
I second that.
Okay, Alan has moved. Patty has seconded to accept the agenda as printed. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, our next agenda is Treasurer's Report. Alan?
Yes, sir. Okay, going down the list here, in the Bank of Oklahoma Financial, we have $21,987.51. In the Commercial Bank of Colorado checking account, we have $466,589.08. In the Commercial Bank of Colorado, in our money market account, we have $800,577.71. And then we have $500 in petty cash. So for we have a gross total of current assets of $1,289,554.30. And I'm tickled to announce or point out the Commercial Bank of Colorado. They've raised their interest to 0.25 for our money market. So we made a whopping 160 some odd dollars and some odd cents this last month. So I'm really tickled. Any other questions?
Excellent news. And did we receive some funds this last month? That seems a little larger than it was last month.
We received funds actually in June. We just did not spend as much money, and so that's based on last month. We're there's about $40,000 difference in that we're about $40,000 less than what we had last month. But we did receive $200,000 a payment in the first part of the summer. It was in June. I don't have the exact figure in front of me right now. Well, yes, I do. The Pacific Ownership Tax to date, let's see, property tax and ownership tax. To date, we've received $1,101,731.98. And the Pacific Ownership Tax, we've received $127,852.01. That's the gross total since the first of the year. I do not have a separate amount that we received this last time around. I had it in my last month's deal, but I don't have it in front of me right now.
No worries. I think what it points out, if we've got approximately 7 months till we receive any significant money, which would be March of 2022, we should need somewhere in the $450,000 range to support the library in that period of time. That still leaves us with a very nice balance as we start to receive revenue in 2022. So I think we're working the correct way to get to larger and larger reserves so that we can start discussing the build out, which probably we need to defer a little bit longer just simply because we don't have enough funds and we need to probably spend some more time at that. And I was kind of hoping that the next time we get together in person, we could do that. It's these Zoom meetings are a little bit difficult. And if I could ask a question.
I agree.
Go ahead, Alan. Sorry.
I agree. We can start discussing things on proposals and stuff, but Tim also has some grants in the process can be used for a couple of different things. So I feel real good where we're at until the first of the year.
Yeah, I would agree, Alan. Thanks. And just a housekeeping thing. I've got a second caller on a phone. It just says caller two. So if I might ask who that is, please.
That may be me. I'm Kathy, the Wilkinson, the manager from Simla. Does that look right?
Actually,
Kathy.
Oh, am I actually on the video? Okay. I just want to make sure it wasn't me. All righty.
Yeah. And again, I'm just trying to categorize this for Karen.
Could it be me, Jim?
What's that? Could be you.
It could be me. When I got on, the program refused any audio from me. All it would take or do was the picture. And so I'm going to hang up my phone. I thought I was going to have to talk on the phone. So let me try that.
We can hear you just fine. So if you don't want to do that, that's fine.
Jim, I was trying to help you with attendance since I knew Karen wasn't in. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you earlier.
No worries. All right, well, we'll worry about that. We'll move on here. So thank you, Alan. I think it was a good report. I entered item, we do need to go now to approval of the minutes from the July 28th, 2021 meeting. I would ask first if there's any, I would ask for a motion to approve those minutes.
This is Patty. I make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
And do I have a second?
I would second that.
Patty has moved. Alan has seconded to approve the minutes as written from July 28, 2021 meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes?
Can I interrupt for just a moment? This is Kathy with Simla. That is the person on the phone is Jennifer Richardson from Simla. She just doesn't have a way to speak, so she's just listening. I'm sorry. She just texted me and told me, for the record.
Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate it. Welcome, Jennifer. And welcome, Diana. Okay, I think we've got attendance going well here. So hearing no discussion, back to the motion, I would ask all in favor to say aye on approving the minutes. Aye.
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 Motion carries. I did add number five, President's Report. As a derelict, I did not have anything for that, so we'll skip by number five, but I will include that in the minutes and the agendas going forward. Management committee report, if you have anything, please.
This is Patty. So we have scheduled our first meeting with Tim. It was supposed to be this Friday, and I had to reschedule it because of a doctor's appointment that I forgot about that I scheduled 6 months ago. That's hard to get in. So we've rescheduled it for September the 3rd, and it's at 10 o'clock. That will be our first meeting with Tim.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Then moving on, director's report, Tim sent that out. Does anyone have any questions or comments for Tim? And Tim, do you have any additional comments you'd like to make?
Nope, just what you said. If anybody has any questions, happy to answer.
Okay. Hearing no further questions, we'll move on to number 8, which is continuing discussion and possible action regarding meeting rooms use, including clarification of the resolution of when to open and close the meeting / conference rooms. This came up to my attention that there were tutors utilizing the, I think you call it the conference room, not the meeting room, the smaller room at the Elizabeth Library. And we just wanted to make sure, I felt it was important that we reviewed the meeting room policy. And in doing so and looking at some other library meeting room policies, I also came across another item that I think is important, and that is that we have always allowed keys to be checked out and meetings to happen after the library is actually closed. And most of the, if not all of the libraries that I checked that have meeting room policies, from modest to very large, require that all meetings happen when the library is actually open. And I think that's something for our discussion. So what I would propose is that we, and I found the current meeting room policy, and it's fine, but I would like us to add that there will be a charge of $15 per hour, add the word for tutors, into our policy, our meeting room policy. I found it in the trustee handbook, just for reference for other trustees. And I would also like to limit any meetings to occurring only when the library has library staff there and is open. And I think that's a liability issue that we should probably be careful of, because there's no one there to monitor room size, attendance, and staying within the room parameters and so on. So those are my two concerns, and I'd open it up for further discussion. And let's go around the horn on that one. Patty, do you have anything on that?
I would agree with you on after hours use, even though I have myself used it for after hours use. I think that from a liability perspective, we need to consider that and not have it open when there's no library staff present. So I would agree with you on that. And in regards to the charge for $15 per hour, are you saying that we had already had that policy and we're just confirming that, or are we adding that to? Because I know we talked about this in the last meeting a little bit about charges, and I'm just, sorry, trying to go back to the meeting minutes.
No, we currently have that as our charge, but okay. I wanted to add it, and I don't have it right in front. Well, yes, I do. Hang on. It says meetings of profit-making groups, individuals, or business are under the a fee of $15 an hour is charged for. So they're under the category of when a fee is charged. I would simply like to add the word tutors. Because they're charging, and it's also specifically lays out programs held by professionals such as attorneys, real estate agents, financial planners, are also included in the in the fee charge section. There are certainly a vast majority of our meetings that are not charged. That is for library-sponsored groups, activities, nonprofit and community group meetings, and government meetings. But if we have a charge, I think we need to specify that basically anyone else, particularly if they're a business orientation, even if it's something as laudable as a tutor, would pay the $15 an hour to utilize the space. Because if not, they're keeping that from, they potentially keeping that from other people who might qualify for it as a nonprofit group or whatever. And I agree with you, Patty. We've been guilty of utilizing the library for meetings after hours. And while it will make it more difficult in some cases for groups to have meetings, I think that it, from the liability standpoint, I think it makes a lot of sense.
May I ask a question about the tutor fee, just to clarify?
Sure.
This is Kathy. I was curious if it's a student, and what if they don't say sign up for that room, they just use the room space available? Those are just a couple questions I had regarding that fee.
Well, I would open that up to any other board member. Robert, perhaps you have any thoughts?
Can you hear me first off?
Yes.
Yeah.
My only concern is that, you know, we have to have staff on board. That's an interesting, Kathy throws in an interesting twist on that. I'd like to hear just a little bit more about a student. Are you talking about a student tutor?
Yes, that's what I was asking, because some tutors are adults and they are making a living, say, tutoring or a side hustle of some kind. And then you have student tutors that will just be a peer type tutor. And then you also have situations where I can see that if I'm a professional and I'm calling in and I'm saying, I'd like to reserve that conference room for the hour between 4 and 5 for tutoring, and they pay their $15. But if I am a tutor and I'm coming space available, do I have to pay the $15? Because then I'm not taking it away from somebody else. I'm strictly using the space as available. So those were my questions.
Well, the only thought I have is if the criterion is if they're making money, if they're a professional tutor, then I guess it makes some sense to have the tutoring fee apply. If you're talking about a peer tutor who's not making any money, I think that's a different thing altogether.
Right, and this is Jim, and I would agree with that. And also in Elizabeth, we have Lisa Hughes, who does tutor for the library for GED students. So I wouldn't think it would apply to Lisa either.
And I've got an add-on question, because I think what will happen, in fact, I know it has happened, is that rather than pay $15 an hour, or if they're unable to reserve a room because it's full, we'll have tutors who will set up at a quiet corner of the library and work with a student. And I'm a little wary of walking up to them and saying, say, are you charging money? If so, we're going to charge you $15 to use the library. I'm not sure that'd be a great thing.
And I think it would only apply to the specific conference room and meeting room at the Elizabeth Library, because unless I'm misunderstanding the other venues, I don't believe there are specific meeting rooms that are set aside and reserved like we do at the Elizabeth Library. And
no.
I'm open to correction on that, but I think that's correct.
Okay.
And so.
But just so you know ahead of time, this is Lori again, just to be clear, we know that tutors, rather than pay $15 an hour, will just come in and sit down at a table. That doesn't bother us as long as they're quiet, but that, you know, I think we'll have to be able to explain to somebody why they would pay for a room, but they wouldn't pay for a table.
Well, I mean, there it goes back to Kathy's comment about a space available. If the tables are already taken, then it's not going to work. Tim made a good suggestion on chat. Maybe just add the word paid as an adjective to tutor. So a paid tutor. I think that would at least take away some of the concern. And then Wendy has brought up evening meetings that start at 7 would have to be fast in by 8. Friday meetings could not be after 5. And no meetings on Sunday. And there's the reality of it. However, if we're going to have a policy, we have a policy. And if it makes sense to only have meeting rooms available, in other words, people can't slide in to the tables when no one is there, why would they be able to use the meeting rooms when no one is there? I guess that's the logic. Alan, any thoughts?
My thought process is that to be uniform, I think if we have it with those two conference rooms, that if you're a commercial operation, you pay the fee no matter what. And it just makes it less painful. I can see tutors using that table in the back. In fact, I believe there's X number of people that use that now. They real estate people come in there and talk to clients and stuff. My thought is if it's available, and it's not going to cause a disruption to anybody, the only thing we charge for is those two rooms. And that's that. Make it painless.
I mean, that's what I was thinking,
the
too.
The only other situation where if we get to a point, again, where we're having to limit the number of people in the library, that might affect people using, tutors using those tables. Because if it impacts how many people that can come in and use the library to check out books, that's the only time it's going to get difficult.
And I would say that staff, at least in Elizabeth, staff is very good at monitoring how many people are in the building and would be, when we were having a limit on number of people, we also had a limit on number of amount of time. And so I think we've got ways of handling that. I don't think that'll be an issue. And any concern about it being distracting for others, we're covered under our policy statement, which is of course right there on the website, where can't be disruptive. And if the tutoring is to the point where it's disruptive, then we can ask them to go elsewhere. So I think that's a good solution.
Or if the room is available, they could, and they're, you know, being paid for their tutoring, they could always rent the room, right? Like if they actually needed space. I mean, the cost is being associated with using the room, right?
Exactly.
So if you're a commercial person, or if you're using the room for commercial purposes, then you should be, excuse me, charge the fee. I mean, that's my thought.
This is Ruben. I have a question with regards to the cost. Would it make sense for both rooms to be charged at the same rate? The larger room does have a higher occupancy as well as a TV projector, et cetera, whereas the smaller one is more, it has less amenities, I guess is what I'm saying.
Ruben, interesting point. And I don't really have a feeling one way or the other. Are you suggesting that we possibly charge a little less for the conference room?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking in terms of tutoring and stuff, because if they then up their fees of tutoring by $15 to accommodate the $15 that they would be charged for the rooms, I just think that puts them in a rougher spot. Well, it rather puts our community in a rougher spot where then the parents who are wanting their kids to get the tutoring have to then meet the higher cost. So I think offering a lower cost would potentially be beneficial for the smaller room.
And your logic makes sense, but I would need to hear from the other board members on that as well. And then I think we should be able to go to a motion that seems like we've had most of the conversation here that makes sense.
The one thing I would this is Lori. Can I finish here?
Sure.
The one thing I think we'd want to be sure of is that we could ask the fire department to do it. We set a occupancy number for the smaller room. We have an occupancy for the big room, but we don't for the small room. And I can see people saying, oh, well, I'll take the small room and I'll just fit my 10 people in there. It'll only cost me $15. I don't think we want to do that. So we probably ought to think about an occupancy number for the small room, especially if it's a smaller, a lower fee. And I'm sorry, I'm done.
And Lori, excellent point. I'm just kind of going by memory. Are you thinking maybe a maximum 4 people, 5 people? What are you thinking?
I think 4 is as many as would be safe, certainly safe now if we're talking about social distancing. But I can't imagine any more than 4 in there.
Okay. Well, and I know your example was a little on the to make the point, but if they were actually tutoring 10 people at a time, that's a classroom, they would need the larger venue.
But the kind of uses, Jim, that we might get are somebody selling essential oils. That's somebody who will be putting on a sales presentation. I'm speaking from experience on this one, saying, oh, well, you know, there's just going to be 6 or 8 of us girls, and we're going to be talking about essential oils, except that I'll sell some to anybody who wants them. That's the kind of thing that will slide in. That was a bad pun. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm
sorry, John.
Go ahead, Patty. Go ahead.
We wouldn't slide them in if we have a maximum occupancy of 4 people and they have 8 girls, they have to rent the larger room.
Exactly. Right. At the higher price.
Yeah.
I agree on this. I think this is a good solution. And I'm thinking the smaller room, limit 4 people, make it $8.
The only comment I would have to that, Alan, I see your logic on that, but if you make it an even 10, then the change is not near as big of an issue. They can just hand you 2 fives or what have you. So just from practicality.
I agree on that point. I agree on that point.
But would we charge
make
10 for the
small? Make it as painless as possible.
Go ahead, Patty.
What's the occupancy again on the larger room? I forget.
31.
Larger room, 31.
So to me,
go ahead.
If you're charging 10 for the smaller room, then you ought to be charging more for the larger room. It's more occupancy. Or you're going to charge 15 for the larger room, and I don't know, 5 for the smaller room.
I'm okay with that. Or we could simply do a 25 and a 10 if we want to raise the larger room as well.
I think we would be hurting people at the 25. We might, as things grow out and as there are, as we're able to provide more amenities with our meeting rooms in that wonderful day when we have a bigger building, I think then we'll be able to do it. But right now, it's got a movie screen and we've got some electronics, but it's pretty bare bones. So I don't know, maybe somebody does know, but whatever coffee shop goes in the new retail subdivision west of Walgreens or Walmart, you know, if it's a Starbucks, they're likely to have a meeting room and they're likely to have a nicer meeting room than we'll have, which is fine. And you'll probably pay more for it,
yeah,
which is fair.
I think given, I would go back. Go ahead, Alan.
I think the 5 and the 15 deal is the best solution because it's less change for the librarians to have to deal with, and it makes both rooms attractive to the people that use those sizes.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. Any board, Robert or Patty on the 5 and 15?
I'm for the 5 and 15.
Robert?
5 and 15 is fine with me.
Okay. So I'll make a motion. So I'm finding this on page 14 of the trustee handbook as the meeting room policy. So one change will be under the heading a fee of $15 per hour is charged for. The first bullet point is meetings of profit-making groups, individuals, or businesses, including paid tutors. So we'll just simply add the words including paid tutors. And then we probably need to modify the fee of $15 an hour is charged for the large meeting room, and a fee of $5 per hour is charged for the conference room. So we need to modify that heading. So this is a long motion. I apologize.
I would second that. I would second that motion.
I'm not done. I'm writing down notes here, though, so that I can recreate it for Karen. And then on page 15 of the trustee handbook, under overview of the Pines and Plains Library's meeting room, the meeting room capacity is 31 people, not 36. So that needs to be changed. Conference room capacity is 4. And hours available, we need to change that to simply read when library is open. Because we do have different hours on different days, and we are currently closed on Sundays. Now I'm done with the motion. Sorry.
I think it's fairly clear. I would second that.
Okay. Jim has moved. Alan has seconded that we modify the meeting room as follows. A fee of $15 per hour is charged for the meeting room, $5 an hour for the conference room. Meetings of profit-making groups, individuals, or businesses, including, this is the addition, including paid tutors, that the room capacity, and this is on page 15, of the conference room is 31 people, or excuse me, of the meeting room is 31 people, that of the conference room is 4 people, and that the hours available are when the library is open. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye, please. Aye.
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 That motion carries. Tim has put in the chat that he will make the edits and send them to the trustees to make sure that we've captured the changes adequately. So I appreciate that, Tim. Thank you. Okay, moving on then to discussion regarding a possible vaccination policy for the district. Unless someone is really adamant to take action, what I want to do is start a discussion, start some thinking based on, as you all are most likely aware, the Pfizer vaccine got full FDA approval this week. The Elbert County health reports have gone from not good to not very good to really getting awful. Positivity on today's report for 2 weeks was 9.09, on 8/19, which was not very long ago, that same two-week positivity was 7.9. And on 8/16, it was 7.79. So we're going the wrong way. We've talked about, do we need a vaccine policy specifically? There have been many, many, many mandatory vaccine policies just in the last several days. Many of them have mandatory vaccine or mandatory testing. I don't know that the mandatory testing is feasible for our group. And so what I wanted to do is just allow each one of us to share any thoughts you may have. And then I would like a motion to table this to the September 22nd meeting, please. So I'll start again with Patty, if you have any thoughts on this.
I have thoughts. Sorry. I recognize all that you've said, and I guess, you know, my primary concern is employee safety and then our responsibility, I think, to ensuring the public safety. So that's all I have on it for now.
Okay, Robert.
Well, you know, my personal preference would be that everybody gets, you know, understands the gravity of the situation and steps forward and does the right thing on this. Unfortunately, I also recognize that people have some very detailed beliefs on this. So it comes down then to me, instead of wearing my hat that says, well, this is what Robert would think, I have to wear my hat that says I'm standing up for the taxpayers in the community, and I would tend to be much more conservative based on that notion. I don't think it's an impossible thing for us to consider if it continues to get worse. And believe me, as a former school teacher, with this Delta variant, I really do believe that our numbers are going to continue to tank for a while. I could be persuaded, but I, right now, that's where I'm at.
Okay, Alan.
Well, I guess I am. I believe people should get the vaccine if at all possible. I think you're foolish if you don't, but people have their right to their own beliefs and whatsoever. I guess my thought would be if you don't want to get the vaccine, then you need to make darn sure you're wearing your mask. And I'll let it go at that.
All right. And I would just point out that we, as an employer, we need to take into account the risks in the current situation. And I know that we all are thinking about it in depth. And then so I would entertain a motion to table this item number 9 to the September 22nd, 2021 meeting.
I would make a motion that we table this, with the exception if things go really bad in the next couple of weeks, that we may have to have an emergency meeting to make a discussion and change should something really get bad. And that's my only exception to the deal.
Okay, second.
This is Patty. I second.
All right. I'm going to give Robert credit for seconding. So Alan has moved, Robert has seconded that we table this discussion item number 9 regarding a possible vaccination policy until September 22nd, 2021, unless circumstances determine that we need to have a special meeting. And just to remind all of you, a special meeting can be called by any 3 commissioners for any reason. So all in favor of tabling this, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. And we move on to number 10, I believe we need a supplemental budget appropriation for professional services, adding $3,000 to the annual budget. The annual budget is $9,000. I was on the budget committee last year, and I thought we had put it up at $12,000, but apparently we did not. We are going to need more than $9,000. I don't think we'll need $12,000, but I would like to move that we pass a supplemental budget appropriation for professional services of $3,000 additional dollars. So I'm making that a motion.
I would second that.
Jim has moved. Alan has seconded that we make a supplemental budget appropriation for professional services of an additional $3,000. Is there any discussion? All right, hearing none, I would call for the question. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our scheduled business. I would just ask if any of the board members, Robert, Patty, or Alan, have any additional items that need to be discussed this evening.
I just have one to give you information that Tim and I have scheduled the first employee orientation on the new handbook for September 9th. Is that right, Tim?
I don't have my email in front of me. I think it was the 8th rather than the
9th. Let me look. I'm going to look.
It's the 8th on my calendar. This is Lori. And if it's the 9th, I'm going to scream.
I'm going to look. It was maybe it's the 8th. I've got so many dates in my head. I'm going to check real quick. Hold on. And I'll make sure and put that on my calendar. And since my calendar, I screw it up so often, it seems like. September 8th, 9 a.m. Sorry.
That little bit of adrenaline. That's all right. Burns calories.
So that's the first one, and I think we were looking at potentially a second date for, was it the Albert Semler Group? Is that what you said, Tim?
It was just Simla. We really only have Ruben and Sandy who work at Albert there, and Sandy also works Elizabeth. So it would effectively just be the Simla staff for that second one there.
Thank you. Okay.
And did you say you do have that second one scheduled or not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Thank you for the update. Any other items that we need to discuss? The next scheduled meeting is September 22nd, 2021, 6 p.m. Already tabled one item. We'll begin to talk about a budget. We do need to, the budget committee, which is Tim, Robert, and myself, we do need to present a draft budget to the board by October 15th. So we will be meeting later in September possibly early October to accomplish that draft. And unless anybody has anything else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn at 6:48 p.m.
I move that we adjourn at 6:48.
I second it.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, everyone, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll talk with everyone soon. Take care.
Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.